This is the Sean Hannity Show podcast.
Well, actually, it's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity, who's taking a rare day off. With us right now, one of our favorite guests, Ann Coulter, is, of course, the best-selling author. Her book, Demonic, a huge bestseller. And you go to her website, anncoulter.com, where you can get her latest column, which is really interesting. And actually, she's on the line right now. Ann Coulter, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, Mark Simone?
Very good. You know, I'm
That lazy bastard Hannity?
What do you mean lazy? How many days is it? How rarely does he take a day off?
I'm just kidding. He's the hardest working man in the media. He takes about a half day off per year.
I know. Look at me.
Years.
I'm like the fill-in guy for Hannity. That's like being a Maytag repairman.
Right.
You just sit there never working. So I'm watching that. The most biased TV network ever in history is this MSNBC. And there's a whole.
Also the most hilarious.
It is funny. I love watching that MSNBC. It's so crazy. And but last night they start presenting a chart, a graph showing Obama is so fiscally conservative. Scientific, mathematical evidence. And you wrote a great column about this.
Yes. Well, I knew it wasn't true, but I went looking for it. I mean, as all sentient beings would know. And I found it's this guy, Rex Nutting, who wrote it up for MarketWatch. So, you know, it's unbiased. And I read through it quickly, and I thought, I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure this out. I'm just going to ask America's premier economist, John Lott, who, by the way, has just written this magnificent book, Debacle, with Grover Norquist. And you have to read it. Everyone listening has to read it. It'll be so much fun laughing at all of the predictions Goolsbee, Obama's people, Paul Krugman were making and how completely wrong they were. Anyway, Lott takes one quick look at it and points out to me that they are not counting any of the spending in Obama's first year in office until October 1st. The entire 2009 fiscal year, that goes in Bush's column. So
well, but that would be
that
like...
includes the $1 trillion stimulus, the S-CHIP, health care for immigrants now, too, and millions more American children. That includes the second half of the TARP money, hundreds of billions of dollars. And you know, you're talking about $1 trillion. Oh, let's just move that over to Bush's column.
But they keep...
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And that's only some of the sleights of hand that are going on, but that explains an awful lot of it right there.
But they keep showing the chart as if this is actual scientific, mathematical proof. That do you know about the Trayvon Martin thing with MSNBC?
No.
Mediaite did a little study. They were covering the Trayvon Martin killing nonstop, every show. That was the biggest story. They wouldn't let up on it. And when asked why so much coverage... They said, well, it's outrageous that people aren't focused on this more. And about a week or so ago, the evidence started to back up Zimmerman's story.
I haven't heard so much about it.
Mediaite did a study. You've heard nothing about the Trayvon Martin case ever again on MSNBC. It vanished. do you remember the it was about a year ago, Rachel Maddow, who created this whole fake chart about how every time you cut taxes, the deficit goes way up. And she put both graphs up, and it was unbelievable. Cut taxes, deficit goes up. But she forgot to mention it had nothing to do with the tax cut. Actually, revenue increased with the tax
right.
cut.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. She forgot to
most famously with Ronald Reagan. This is why, and this is what every Republican should say when he's asked these preposterous hypotheticals. Well, wouldn't you take $10 in spending cuts for $1 in tax increases? How about $1,000 in spending cuts for $1 in tax? And, you know, Republicans keep looking unreasonable, except, you know, we're like the Indians being told for the 30th time, no, we're just going to move you out of this state, but we promise this, you can stay in Oklahoma. And then, you know, Andrew Jackson comes along and moves them again and moves them again. We've done this before, and every time we agree to a small tax hike for even more in spending cuts, what happens is the Democrats spend 2.5 times more than the additional revenue we're taking in because of the tax cuts. That is exactly what happened under Reagan. It happened again under George Bush. I mean, that's why people were furious with George Bush. This is the first George Bush. For breaking his pledge, no new taxes. How many kicks of the mule do you need in the Bush family to learn you can't make this deal with Democrats? No talk about raising taxes. Though, in fact, as you say, that would just lead revenues to decline because every time we've cut taxes, the revenue to the IRS has gone up.
Yeah. Now, Ann Coulter, in your book, Demonic, the thing that fascinated me was you point out the liberal mentality, the history of getting the mob riled up always involves creating a demon, somebody to demonize. And then it made me realize under the Clinton administration, they loved Halliburton. That was their favorite contractor.
Bush, you mean?
No, Clinton.
Oh, you mean they actually used Halliburton?
No, they loved Halliburton. If you go back and read, they remember Al Gore did that big study on government under the Clinton administration?
Yeah. I thought you meant they loved Halliburton as the demon.
No.
I see what you mean.
The Clinton administration loved Halliburton. In fact, Al Gore wrote glowing things about Halliburton in that study. And in 98, there was the only time Halliburton ever lost the bidding, Bill Clinton personally overruled it and handed him the contract anyway. They loved Halliburton. And the Obama administration has given every contract to Halliburton. So they're obviously Halliburton fans. But when the Bush administration got in and just kept the same contractor, Halliburton, all of a sudden they were demonized and they were evil. But now we see the same thing with Bain Capital. Suddenly they're evil. And you're right in that book about
except the ones who are secretly taking their money on the side.
Yeah. So the president demonizing Bain all day. And now all these liberal callers today, it's like the Halliburton period. They're going, Bain, that Bain Capital, that evil Bain Capital.
Yes. So, yes, it's immune to logic. This is what is so frustrating about a mob, but so useful for the Democratic Party, since logic is not their forte. But they can get people riled up, and I mean it goes back even more recently than Gustav Le Bon's book about groupthink and mob psychology to George Orwell's 1984 and how they gin the people up by the object of hatred, Emmanuel Goldstein, and stand screaming at Emmanuel Goldstein, this mythical character up on the screen, whom they all hated. It gives people without much purpose in their lives some sort of purpose. And mobs are very dangerous things because they're violent and illogical,
so,
i.e. the Democratic Party.
Well, let's say that the liberals or Democrats use that technique of riling up the mob. What is the response, the effective response to that?
Well, I think even though for the Democratic base, logic will not work. But I think most Americans still are willing to listen to facts and reason, and you just keep giving it to them. And Bain Capital was a magnificent job creator, specifically this nonsense about how they'd go in and chop up companies and they'd all make money. That's not how Bain made money. They would rescue failing companies, often failing because of the unions, I might add, which is why they've been able to get all these salt-of-the-earth-looking types who, in fact, were just union presidents at this or that plant going on strike as the entire industry is going down, as with the paper industry and the union members that Teddy Kennedy deployed against Mitt Romney. The companies were saved. The overly unionized plants might have been shut down, but other plants were working just fine. The companies were saved. They went on. Even the ones that failed often were given a lease on life for another decade. But all of the job creation and the companies that were started, it's spectacular, and it's exactly the kind of green eye shade type we need in Washington right now. As I wrote in a column a few months ago, even the tax guru, Art Laffer, tax guru to Ronald Reagan, said that Reagan was very bad at cutting spending. He was good at cutting taxes, and that did get more revenue in. And, of course, he was fantastic at ending the 50-year threat of nuclear death from the evil empire. But he was not good at cutting spending because Laffer said you need to be a green eyeshade type and go through the budget and go through line by line and see what can be cut. Well, Romney is that green eyeshade guy, and we've never had one, at least one in the presidency. We may have had a few in the Congress, but that wasn't enough. What needs to be done is to take an axe to federal spending. There's no way around it. Otherwise, you do end up like Greece, and that is definitely where we're headed.
No, that's an interesting theory, that green-eyed shade theory. The Obama administration, though, why not Romney just run a commercial saying, it's just simple, just keep running this forever. Unemployment is worse now than when he started. More people are out of work now than we started. It may have been bad when he took over, but it's so bad now, people are actually rioting in the streets. That's how bad it is.
That's true. And again, that's why I recommend. And by the way, you will almost never hear these words pass my lips where I'm recommending someone else's book. But this John Lott book, Debacle, goes through it point by point. The special deals that were given away by the White House for friends, often relatives of people who were working for the Obama administration. A huge number of them were Obama bundlers. The predictions they made, how things were when they came in. This is the first time, I believe, in world history where the recovery is actually worse than the recession. You know, we're technically out of the recession now. This is the recovery. Usually the worse the recession, the better the recovery. Here it's exactly the reverse. This is the recovery.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, and this is historically a fact. The deeper, the quicker, the sharper the decline, the quicker the bounce back.
And the bigger the bounce back.
Yeah, that's always been the case historically, except in this case. And again, how many other presidents have had hundreds of thousands of people out rioting in the streets because conditions were so bad? I can't think of one. You could say Lyndon Johnson, but that was different. Those were race riots, and
that's true. And the anti-war
riots.
Want to go to war? Yeah.
This is the first president in our lifetime to have the economic conditions so bad by the end of his term that people were rioting in the streets.
Yes, you're right. I have a bittersweet feeling about that because the kids rioting are the idiots who voted for him. So I do have. I have a tinge of glee at the fact that they're all out of work.
Now, but that's another interesting point. Even his own voters are out there rioting in the streets. Things are
even
so
they're the main ones suffering. It's just like, you know, a communist revolution. It's pushed by the intellectuals, and who are the first people they kill? Round up the ones with the glasses. Kill them.
Well, Ann Coulter, a great column this week, and you can go see it at anncoulter.com. And you're working on a new book, right?
Yes, I am.
But you still can't tell us
anything. It's a blockbuster, and it's coming out before the election, and we're looking at early October.
Also, the movie is coming out right before the election. That movie about the killing of Osama bin Laden is coming out.
I think they're kind of overdoing that, whereas my book will be fresh.
That's true. But in a massive coincidence, this killing of bin Laden movie comes out just before the election, and it's all about how Obama is responsible for the killing of Osama bin Laden.
Yes, Obama, played by Brad Pitt.
Yes, and the guy that actually created the whole operation, ran the whole operation, commanded it start to finish, designed it, Admiral William McRaven, will bring his kids and his grandchildren to the movie theater, and at the end they're going to say, "Hey, Grandpa, how come you're not even mentioned in the movie?"
Well, because Obama parachuted himself in and killed Osama in hand-to-hand combat.
Well, there you go. Well, read Ann Coulter's column and get her book. Go to anncoulter.com. And Ann Coulter, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Hey, one more thing. If killing Osama bin Laden is the end, is the be-all, the end-all of the war on terrorism, how come I still have to be salt up at airports?
Doesn't that indicate
that it really may not have been quite that important, emotionally satisfying, but not really that important?
I don't know. I enjoy it. I go through the line a couple times. But anyway, thanks for...
Goodbye, Mark.
Thanks for being with us. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Doug Schoen coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Hannity Headline. A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you anywhere you go. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
Welcome back. Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Doug Schoen at the bottom of the hour. So this one dopey guy keeps sending me this thing about, remember I said the Obama attacks on Bain in the ad are false, and the Washington Post, their fact checker, gave it a Pinocchio as a false ad. So he keeps sending me Politico. Look how Politico fact-checked it and said it's true. We're talking about legitimate news sources. Politico is a super partisan liberal website. And what they do is you can look at it two ways. There's a Rachel Maddow, Michael Moore technique of lying where you pick three facts that are factually correct and just present those facts. But it gives you a totally false impression. Michael Moore started that in the film Fahrenheit 9/11. They even teach it now, believe it or not, in most major law schools. It's a great way to lie in court if you're a defense lawyer because you just give certain facts that create a certain picture. Everything you've said is true. You haven't lied, but you've created a totally false picture. So what Politico does to get away with it is just fact check what the facts being presented in the Bain attack ad true, and they say, yes, these facts are true. But the Washington Post, just using a common sense, realistic approach, said – yeah, these things are true, but the whole thing is totally out of context and is giving you a completely false picture of Bain. Yes, these people did lose their jobs. Yes, this company did close, but this is not at all typical of Bain. Most Bain companies are turned around, make a fortune. And in this case, this company, even though it closed, what they forget to tell you in the ad, this is after 8 years of Bain pumping millions into this company. And at the time it was closed down, Romney had been gone from Bain for a couple of years. So forget that political fact-checking. That's like MSNBC doing fact-checking. Go by the Washington Post, which is a much more respectable fact-checker on this. Anyway, let's take some calls. Let's go to Rhett in Montana. Rhett, you're on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Mark. Appreciate you filling in for Sean. He's a hard-working guy.
He is.
I just wanted to comment on Tamara.
Tamara Holder. Yes.
Tamara. On the
okay, real quick, we don't have a lot of time.
Bain Capital, you know, I think it's hilarious just because, you know, Obama's used our money, taxpayer money, to make bets on, you know, investing, so on.
That's a very good point. You know, Romney was a venture capitalist at one point, and President Obama has become a venture capitalist in his first term. And you're right, he did it with our money. He took our money and was probably the world's worst venture capitalist, losing a lot of money in companies like Solyndra and all of that. So that's a good point. When we come back, Doug Schoen will be with us. He's one of the great pollsters, one of the great political analysts. We'll talk to him, and we'll take more of your calls. 1-800-941-SEAN is the number. Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. You can follow me on Twitter, Mark Simone NY at Twitter. Back in a moment.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show. And now you never have to. Just sign up for Hannity Headlines. A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go. Even to your liberal in-law's place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
Welcome back. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. We got a lot to talk about. Oh, you know who's with us right now? Doug Schoen is the great pollster, political analyst, Fox News. Always love talking to him. And he's on the line right now. Doug Schoen, how are you?
I'm fine, Mark. Thank you for the kind introduction.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours, and you always really know what you're talking about. Your book is Hopelessly Divided. That's a great title. And when will this change?
I don't see any change anytime soon. If you look at this campaign, Mark, I think the simplest and probably most important conclusion you can reach is we're moving farther apart rather than closer together.
You know, I was looking back at 1936, Roosevelt's re-election campaign was pretty similar. It was about how terrible the rich are and we should hate the rich and it's all their fault. And it worked. Roosevelt got re-elected.
Well, and maybe Obama will get re-elected, maybe he won't. But somehow we got to govern the country after that happens, and bottom line, I don't see us moving in the direction where we're going to resolve our fiscal or economic problems anytime soon.
How come, I remember Reagan and the Democrats just hated each other. It was brutal, but Reagan could get, you know, pick up the phone, talk to Tip O'Neill, he could get things done. Even Clinton and Gingrich managed to work things out when they needed to. What happened?
Well, I think, you know, the ideological extremes have gotten more power. The contributors who are also ideological have more influence. Redistricting has further heightened polarization because, you know, we have safe Democratic and safe Republican districts, fewer swing districts. And the role of PACs and big money have really pulled us apart rather than brought us together.
Yeah. But you talk to these longtime senators and congressmen, they'll tell you that years ago they would go out to dinner with the other side. They'd hang out on the weekends. They were friendly once 5 o'clock rolled around.
Well, that's exactly right. And now none of them stay together. None of them work together. And they go their separate ways. And the net result is that we all lose.
Yeah. And this president has been pretty much absent from all of the what needs to be done, you know, whereas Clinton or Reagan or whatever. But pick up the phone and talk to these opposing voices in Congress or go meet with them or get everybody in a room and run the meeting. This president doesn't seem to have any interest in that.
He doesn't talk to the Republicans. He doesn't even appear to talk to the Democrats, Mark. And I think we all suffer as a result.
Yeah. Well, Doug Schoen's got a great book called Hopelessly Divided. Also, I can't recall any incumbent president campaigning so furiously in May.
Well, that's it. I mean, this is all politics all the time. When I worked for Bill Clinton, I can tell you we tried to govern well so that politics would be easier rather than just politics all the time. This president is politics all the time.
Yeah. But he seems like in panic mode the last couple of weeks with this nonstop campaigning.
Yeah, his poll numbers are coming down. Romney hasn't really gone through the ceiling, but his numbers are trending downward, and that's always a worrying sign, Mark, for an incumbent.
Yeah. Clinton against, let's go back to Reagan against Carter. One of the things that helped Reagan was the Democrats launched so many negative ads against Reagan for so many months. They made you think he was evil, he was disgusting, he was stupid, he was everything in the world. And then when the debate rolled around, compared to the impression it created, he seemed like a genius. He seemed like the nicest guy in the world. The negative ads had backfired because he was so good by comparison.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if all President Obama and Mitt Romney, for that matter, run or negative ads, people will just further polarize and further get hostile. I think what the American people want is a fair-minded discussion of where we need to go.
Well, we're not going to have that.
I stand optimistic.
Yeah. But all this negative stuff about Romney, the same thing will happen that happened with Reagan. The debate will roll around. People will look at this guy for 2 hours and say, he's not as bad as they made him out to be. He's pretty reasonable.
That's really the thing. I think Romney is a reasonable man. I also think Obama's a reasonable man. But unless there's an exchange of ideas, they can disagree, as they do. They have different philosophies. But unless they offer different visions, I think increasingly Obama will find exactly what you say, which is negative ads backfire, and that people will see Romney as a credible alternative in a declining economic situation.
Yeah. And how do you get elected if you've got a more unemployment than when you started and you've got people out in the street rioting? I mean, things are worse now than when he began.
Well, two things. First, you go negative, as he has, and you say your opponent's unqualified or even worse. And second, you blame Bush. You blame who came before you, and you say you stabilized the situation and made things better. That's what you try to do, but I agree with you. It's not by any means an ideal situation.
Yeah. But you can. Hasn't the statute of limitations run out on blaming Bush? It's 4 years now.
I think it has run out, but when you don't really have a program going forward and you don't have ideas, you try anything, and rest assured you're going to be seeing a lot of George Bush in this campaign. Trust me.
How can you run against Bush 4 years later? You might as well bring up Calvin Coolidge and bash him.
I think he's going to say we were facing the worst recession since the 30s. He's going to say that Bush left the country in a complete mess. He stabilized the situation. He's turned the employment situation around in the last couple of years. And then unemployment, while hitting close to 10% or slightly more, has come down to 8% and could go lower. That will be his argument. It's not a great argument, but that's what they're going to say.
And Romney says, look, the unemployment is worse now than when you started. Your unemployment numbers are up since you started. And you're the first president in our lifetime to have people rioting in the streets over bad economic conditions.
And what Obama will say is that Romney doesn't have any clear ideas, doesn't have any clear programs. And he's going to say all he wants to do is cut taxes and cut spending. Terrible thing to do in a recession when you need to stimulate growth.
Yeah. It's probably a smart idea for Romney not to unveil specific programs until very late in the campaign, because if he does it now, Obama can start adopting some of them and triangulate him, much like Clinton did to Bush Sr.
I think that's right. The other thing he can do is gives Obama 5 or 6 months to attack, whereas if he does it around the convention or around the debates, it'll be fresh and new and give people some reason to be optimistic.
Yeah. And Doug Schoen, what would you tell Romney to do about these Bain attacks?
What I would tell him is to explain in a straightforward way why he did what he did, why it's benefited the economy, and what he's hoping to do going forward. This is not an election that's about private equity. It's about our future. And how does what he did at Bain Capital tie into building a better future for all of us?
Yeah. Well, Doug Schoen, great talking to you. The book is called Hopelessly Divided. That's the new crisis in American politics. And is this ever going to turn around? Will we ever have less division, less strife?
Mark, I hope we can have a call and do an interview in a year or two where I acknowledge that I'm wrong and I was too pessimistic and you were right. But I fear that that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And you know, some people point out, you go back to Thomas Jefferson and some of those campaigns, they were even more vicious and even more personal.
I know they were, but they weren't 24-hour news cycles. There wasn't cable TV, and there wasn't the level of, all-pervasive nastiness about all aspects of our life that we're seeing now. So I am obviously not optimistic, but hope that your more optimistic view will be proven right.
Yeah. Weren't you one of the Democrats that was maybe pushing for a Hillary on the ticket?
Oh, I'd love to see Hillary on the ticket. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it would be a breath of fresh air.
If you were Obama, would you want to risk the gaffe machine, Joe Biden, going through late October?
I think he's afraid that if he gets rid of Biden, it'll be seen as panic. Also, if he's tied in the polls, I think he'll feel he doesn't need to do it. And I bet unless he's down over 5, maybe even 10 points this summer, he's not going to go to the Hillary option. Yeah. But if he's down 10, Mark, I think you could well see a change.
Wow, interesting. Well, get Doug's new book called Hopelessly Divided. It's a great book. And Doug Schoen, thanks for being with us.
Mark, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Hey, when we come back, we'll have time for some calls. 1-800-941-SEAN is the number. Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Welcome back. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. 1-800-941-SEAN is the number. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Morrisville, Pennsylvania. Anna, welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yeah, I'm calling because I'm just so tired of hearing Republicans, you know, lie about unemployment. Obama, the growth of employment has...
Hold it. What do you mean, lie?
You guys are making stuff.
Unemployment is higher now than when he started.
Yeah, but the growth for 18 months has been growing. If the
okay, wait a minute. It's been minuscule growth for 18 months. George Bush holds the all-time record for monthly growth 57 months in a row. You will never live to see that record broken.
For Americans and you Republicans in Congress.
Did you not hear what I just said?
You will not even sign a jobs bill because you guys do not.
First of all, there's no such thing as a jobs bill. It's just a fake title. Even Bush used to do that. The clean the environment bill, the jobs bill. It doesn't actually create any jobs. But if your measurement is monthly job growth, then your hero, I want to see a poster on the wall in your bedroom, would be George W. Bush. 57 straight months of job growth, the all-time record.
Rick from infants. How does that
make I get the feeling
jobs?
You're not even listening to what I'm saying.
There has been jobs growth. A lot of states want people to come
well,
to
let me ask you a simple. Let me ask you a very
fill.
Simple question. If there's been so much job growth, how come there's more unemployment now than when he started?
Because Bush, this has been going on for 30 years.
How come there's more unemployment now than when Bush left
and
office?
Everybody is blaming Obama.
It's a simple
Obama
question.
Is not,
well,
Obama
who else
is
was president?
God. He is a man, and he is.
I don't.
To do
let me try it one more time. It's a simple question. How come there's more unemployment now than when he started?
There are states that are.
I don't think it's that complicated a question
because they can't fill jobs. They're begging people come here.
But I think it's a simple question. How come there's more unemployment now than when Obama started?
Because a lot of those jobs that are under unemployment, they lost during Bush.
Well, Bush left, here's the unemployment rate. Now Obama takes over, and 4 years later, it's even worse.
It's 8%.
How's that happen?
Because the bubble burst under all you Republicans, and Obama got stuck with cleaning up your mess.
Well, I know,
and
but
I
it's 4 years
to be a
later. It's
I have been. I registered
Anna,
when I was 18 to be.
Anna, it's 4 years later, and it's a bigger mess. You know what he's
better.
Like? He's like one of those contractors where you got a big problem, so you hire the contractor. And the contractor comes in and he knocks everything over and he makes a big, huge mess. And 4 years later, not only didn't he fix the problem, it's even worse. It's even messier than when he started. That's what you got here.
And call Congress and say, come and meet me. How many times has he asked John Boehner?
How come every time I ask you a question,
and John Boehner
come back
said,
to you and you're talking about something else? Anyway, thanks for calling. Let's go to Ernie in Cranston, Rhode Island, WHJJ. Hey, Ernie.
Hi, Mr. Simone. I was calling to say that I think you're as biased as the MSNBC people that you say.
Well, first of all, wait a minute. Nobody could be as biased as MSNBC. That's not even possible.
God, come on, now.
It's not even possible.
You are, and Mr. Hannity is, and all those people on Fox are, except maybe for us.
Every time I watch Fox, they go, here's the liberal, here's the Republican, here's the conservative. I hear all kinds of voices. But whenever I put on MSNBC, we're having a debate now between an extreme liberal and a slightly extreme liberal.
Can I make my case? Are you trying to make your case with the woman earlier?
I put the whistle down. Go ahead.
But that whistle was tough on my ears anyway. But right. Okay, so anyway, here's the thing. When you mentioned about, you made a good analogy between Romney and Obama in terms of Romney using private capital with his companies and Obama using public capital.
Okay,
and
now what you're saying is, what the hell?
You mentioned the failures.
Hey, Ernie, you ever eat at that Greg's in Cranston, Rhode Island?
Yes, well, there's Greg's in Warwick.
Warwick, it's a very good place. What a great restaurant. It's
great desserts.
Have you ever seen better desserts than that place?
You're changing the subject on me.
Oh, sorry. I thought that's what we were talking about. Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, come on now. You know, Obama used public capital to save GM, to save Chrysler, to save Citibank. You know, those are good investments.
And okay, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. His track record as an investor is horrible. What about Solyndra and the four other companies who went bankrupt and failed? You know, also.
And, you know, by the way, Romney should use that in terms of making an analogy to the American people. But he doesn't want to give Bush and Obama any credit. Just
what do you have, like a pair of socks in your mouth? How come, when you start going, I can't understand anything you're saying.
I'm sorry, I'm talking fast because I'm afraid I'll get cut off.
No, talk slow.
Okay, so.
So you agree Romney with me that Greg's has the best desserts in Rhode Island?
They do have very good.
All right,
dessert.
We agree on something.
I wasn't supposed to give any commercials.
All right, now let me ask you another question. If okay. Obama takes office, and here's the unemployment rate. 4 years later, it's even worse. How do you vote for this guy?
What was the unemployment rate when he took office?
Oh, I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but whatever. It was 6.1, and now it's 8.2, whatever. It's worse now than when he started.
Okay, can I answer that? You would acknowledge that you had a big wish as President Bush was leaving office. The economy was going into the tank. You had a lot of jobs being lost, okay?
Okay, that would explain the first 2 years. Now we're 4 years into it, and the statute of limitations is up. You can't blame Bush.
Well, I think part of it is the fact that Europe is melting down. China is becoming weak. I would ask you a question. Why, if Obama's doing such a terrible job running this country, why is the world putting their money in America? Why is it?
All right, then let me ask you another question. If that's the problem, Europe is melting down, Greece is collapsing, Spain is collapsing, England is collapsing. How come in the middle of that meltdown, Germany is thriving? They're doing well.
No, not now.
Everybody in Germany's employed. They got the best unemployment picture. They got the manufacturing jobs going. Everything is great in Germany.
Not now. So, reason is I invest, so I have to keep up on these things.
Whenever you start talking fast, all of a sudden I can't understand a word you're saying. So, anyway, you're voting for Romney, right?
I could.
All right. That's good enough. Thanks for calling, Ernie. Take care. Do we have time for one more call? No, not really. Sean Hannity Show, Mark Simone here. Thanks for listening.